All right, well, here we are in Penn Station, New York City. Actually, we're on a train in Penn Station. We just got on the train, about to embark on a voyage that will eventually get us to Seattle, but we're going to be stopping in Chicago for a few hours so we can walk around that city. And also, as kind of a bonus, we had the option of routing through Portland and staying there for 8 hours and then going up to Seattle, so we decided to do that. And it's always kind of cool. Those first few moments on the train when you just are settling in. We have a little tiny room here, and we pretty much figured out where everything is. You've got a power strip laid out, Kyle?
Yes, I've already got the wires connected and in their position for all kinds of recreation and reading and, I don't know, personal computing. Whatever we're going to do when there's downtime. I have a book, actually, an older style book, the one that doesn't require batteries.
So. Hey, you haven't plugged it in yet?
No. This one's great. It works offline. So, anyway, yeah, it's this is a reverse configuration than I think we're used to. We've often been on the opposite side of trains like this.
What's reverse about it?
Well, most of the times, it's hard to describe, but the bathroom would be basically on the opposite wall, and we would have gone in the other side, something like that.
So that's a left-handed bathroom as opposed to a right-handed bathroom, I think.
Yeah, like, the sink has always been on this side of the door. In other words,
are you noting that, radio listeners? It's, yeah, over on that side.
Yeah. Like, if you face the door, it's on your right, not on your left, and now the sink's on your left, not on your right. But
if you can't handle changes like that, maybe train travel isn't for you.
Well, you should practice ambidextrousness and all that with your train travel. So this is a good challenge, way for us to learn.
So what we have now is we have a couch on one side and a single seat on the other with a little table separating the two seats by the window. And then there's a bed up on top that'll fold down, so we have bunk beds for when we sleep, and I have a little bathroom over here to my left, and a sink close to the door. It's rather tiny, not as tiny as a roomette; those are even smaller. But it's certainly enough to keep you comfortable.
Yeah, this has some subtle differences. Like there's a thermostat in here, which is kind of different, so you can kind of change the temperature. There's also a tap on the sink that says ice water. Like, if you need ice water, you can just press on the tap. And I don't know if that is that. I mean, I assume it's drinkable, but just something to notice. Also, look here, right where we're sitting on the table, there's like a little Amtrak logo.
Well, they finally thought to put their logo on the cars.
Yeah, I don't ever remember that being by the little fold-out table. This car, it does seem it's had a fair amount of use. I see some glue and various things keeping the fiberglass together, and we're ready, Amtrak, for the new sleeper cars whenever you find the time to get around to that.
Well, they need to get support, you know, like a better rail network obviously would be in our interest. Of course, the trip would probably be a lot quicker and not as enjoyable for people like us. It takes us, we're leaving at 3:40, that's in 2 minutes, and we arrive in Chicago tomorrow morning. And then we get to walk around Chicago until early afternoon. But if this were Europe somehow, we'd be able to get from New York to Chicago just in a few hours. And, of course, we wouldn't have a sleeper car. So, you know, it's a little bit of mixed feelings here because I do like the long travel. It takes about 3 days to get to Seattle. But at the same time, I'm frustrated that we're so far behind the rest of the civilized world as far as high-speed rail. But I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole right now because this is the fun part of the trip where you're just about to start moving and you realize the whole thing lies ahead of you. I mean, we got on the LIRR yesterday to head into the city, and I realized at the time that rail that we're looking at connects to Seattle. It does. It just it's a series of different trains that you get on, but that is the road that we're taking.
Yeah, it's truly this, like, physical connection. I mean, even highways change and so on and so forth. It's just, it's amazing to be a part of a network that's always there. You just don't frequently use it, and especially with people relying on air travel as much as they do. We were looking at a luxury train. We were looking at different trains, like Japanese trains, which is always a way to have envy and make you feel really awful about your own systems. But it had like two stories and fireplaces and like just so much space and was just like going to a hotel.
I think the Japanese exist just to drive us crazy as far as how good they can do things and how far behind we are. For 50 years now, they've had bullet trains. And, you know, we don't even have high-speed rail as it's legally defined. We have somewhat high speed with the Acela, but that doesn't really go fast enough as other countries do.
Well, and we are going to get something similar in Texas, which we've talked about and covered.
That's happening.
Yeah, yeah. So that's really exciting, but it will be a version of the train that's used in Japan.
What I want to do, I want to interview those people, first of all, but I also want to take the trip from Dallas to, San Antonio by car, just to see how long it takes. Is it Houston?
Yeah, okay. I think it's Houston.
And then once the train line, the real high-speed train line opens up, privately funded, so if that works, great. We'll take that as well and compare it. And I think that'll be pretty historical. And I think it'll also be inspirational to other parts of the country. Well, look, it's 3:41. We are not moving. If this was Switzerland, people would already be writing letters about this.
Yes, sir.
How you doing there, sir?
How you doing?
Need our ticket?
All right. Got you covered.
Awesome. Thank you.
You did this before, Carol?
Present and accounted for. Yeah. We've been a couple times. This is our.
But they've changed the food thing, right?
Yeah,
it's no longer
set up for the.
How does it work now?
Yeah, it's the same way. You go in the diner and they got.
Okay.
It's all right. It just don't come in a box.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you might like it. They got shrimp and, it's all right.
Well, the best thing about these trips is meeting other people at the table.
You can go hang out at the table,
Cool. So we'll still get
the diner is for the sleeper. So if you want to go there, relax. You can if you want.
Is there a real kitchen downstairs still?
Not on the East Coast.
No? On the West Coast?
Kitchen's only on the West Coast.
After
on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Okay, so they changed that. That used to be on this
one. We was never
really
downstairs. We had a chef and a waiter, because I used to be a cook, and we had all that, but it was never upstairs, downstairs.
Okay.
We don't fit through the tunnels.
Superline
equipment.
It's like front half, then dining half. Because it's shorter.
I never thought of that.
So there is a kitchen.
The West Coast got the super line of
double decker.
Super tall.
Observation car and all that stuff there. But here, we got to go through these tunnels here. So, we don't want to get stuck. And they got the cat and every wires, for liquid,
Of course,
So that's the reason why we don't have that type of equipment on
this
side.
Understood.
But I'm Robin. I'm going to be with your guys all the way to Chicago, okay?
Kyle.
And Carol, you need anything, y'all let me know.
We'll do that. Thanks.
Y'all ready for me to set the bed up? Just ring that bell for me.
Cool.
Great.
As far as dinner concerned, we're going to start around, let me see, we're going to start at 4:30. You don't need a reservation. Y'all can walk in.
Okay.
Once we get to Albany, they're going to shut down, and they're going to reopen at 7:05.
Got it.
So if y'all want early, go there before Albany.
And how late can we get food?
Anything after 7:05 to about 9:30.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Is there an observation car or anything else?
The diner car, you can go in there and relax a little bit, because the other half of the train coming from Boston going to connect in Albany, so the lounge car comes on in Albany.
Oh, okay.
So Albany, we connect to the other train.
Other half.
Cool.
And the lounge has like drinks and stuff, as well, more so than just food.
The first drink is on Amtrak. They say.
Yeah, you
right?
Go to the diner, get you a drink.
They'll mix up a drink.
A beer or a shot or.
So we get a free drink, right?
You get a free drink, anything else you can buy.
We'll do that first.
We like the Bloody Marys. Amtrak Bloody Marys.
Amtrak Bloody Marys are the best.
Tabasco.
Yeah, she'll hook you up.
All right.
Nancy real cool, so she'll take good care of y'all guys.
Cool.
All right. Thanks a lot, Robert.
If y'all need anything, just let me know, okay?
We'll do. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Well, we're moving. We're moving through the tunnel.
Yep. And we've just revealed our favorite part of the ride.
Well, we've done that before on other shows. We've actually gotten the Bloody Mary, I think. But
it's just tradition now, right?
But you see how cool Amtrak people are. It's just, you have the best conversations with them. They really take care of you.
And one thing you might have noticed from what he said is that he was a cook, and now he's a conductor for an entire car, an attendant for the entire car. They really do train and recruit all the way up the ranks and stuff.
Tickets being scanned.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So oftentimes the people who have experience, then continue training and become, they take on other roles. So they end up retaining a lot of real, like, lifetime Amtrak employees that have expertise in all the different parts of hospitality and running the train like this.
Yeah, these people really know the train, though, every aspect about it. Just watch them. It's incredible. They're so passionate about it, as are many of the passengers. And we've just emerged from the tunnel. We're in New Jersey now. It's really cool because now we're outside and I feel like the trip has really begun. And just, you know, comparing this to getting on a plane, obviously a plane is much faster. If speed is what you're after, then yes, that's a better choice. But as far as hassle, what we went through to get on this train was so relaxing. We arrived yesterday. We had a couple of bags. Very awkwardly sized bags. Can we say we're bringing a car bumper with us?
Yeah, I got a set of bumpers that a guy makes actually in Mexico, and they're basically really small bumpers for a European car. And I have a couple of a particular model, so I'm gonna add these parts to them.
But it's still about 6 feet tall, and you know, try checking a 6 foot tall box in the airport. It's just, it'll be awkward. We were able to just get off the LIRR with this 6 foot tall box and another box, and say, hey, can you guys hold on to this? We're on a train tomorrow. No problem. No charge. It's totally free. We can have carry-ons for free. And then we just showed up an hour beforehand, got to hang out in the Acela lounge, which you get if you're a sleeper passenger. You get beverages and snacks and a chair and TV and Wi-Fi and all that kind of thing. And then you just come down to the car, which is what we did. We're sitting in our room, and we can walk around the train, meet people, talk to whoever we feel like, and enjoy the scenery. You know, on an airplane, it's just so stressful compared to what we're doing now. You're packed in like sardines. I'm usually scared to death. And the whole baggage thing is insane. You got to pay for your food. I mean, our food is included because we're sleepers. Sounds kind of ominous when I say it like that, but we're in a sleeper, so we get free food and we get treated like royalty. And it's really awesome.
Yeah, I'd say that last part you just said is really an important distinction, because oftentimes in airports, the way TSA treats people, the way agents and flight attendants treat people, you're really hostage. Mm-hmm. You're hostage to their security protocols. You're hostage in the plane to just really unhappy people. I mean, flight attendants are not exactly known for their, you know, personable nature. I mean, they have a high stress job that, you know, has got them all messed up, sleep, you know, rest wise and all that. I mean, just the feel of who you are, like, you feel like you're really, you know, as you said, royalty, or, you know, you have dignity. You're an important part of their customer base, whereas a plane, you just are treated as though you're a dime a dozen. You know, they can care less what you're doing, where you're going. That's it. They just need, you know, a head count and security needs met, but everything else is really apathetic towards.
Yeah,
there's like an antagonism.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, the crew and the cabin on planes.
Well, not about the crew, but definitely flight attendants and the check-in people, and of course TSA. It just seems very tense. And here, you know, we're just everyone's friendly, and that goes for the passengers, that goes for the people in the lounge, it goes for the people who are working on the train, and we get a free drink too. I don't know if you heard that before, but. Part of this is the first alcoholic drink is on Amtrak, which is awesome.
That's a new policy. We haven't been able to take advantage of that in the past.
Well, they've sort of changed the way they serve food on this leg of the trip. I understand the Empire Builder, which goes from Chicago to Seattle and Chicago to Portland, they maintain the old kitchen. But I forget, when we did this before on this leg, how the food worked. I know it was in a dining room. Basic setup was the same. I'm just not sure where the kitchen was, because as the guy mentioned, these aren't double-decker trains like they are west of Chicago. So we'll find out. I guess we'll review that and let people know if it's okay. It seemed like bad news. It seemed like they were cutting back on something, which was really pretty awesome, because just meeting other people in the dining car, because you sit with strangers, you hear so many good stories. We've met so many interesting people as a result of that. And usually people are riding a train for a reason. And there's always a good story behind that. And, you know, we mentioned that we're sleepers, but there, in the back there are coach seats, and a lot of people are going from one place to another without bedrooms, just seats, and you can sleep back there as well. It's not nearly as comfortable. Of course, you know, if you pay, it's expensive to get a sleeper, but you can also use points, and there are many ways to get points and figure out how to do this. It's worth it if you can manage to do it, get the time, figure out a way to pay for it. It really is worth it. We've done it several times, and it's always enjoyable.
And for the real adventurous and the, I guess, well-heeled, you could attach a private car. We've looked into this.
And we haven't gotten to that level yet.
It's, I think, only about $2,000 to attach your private car to an Amtrak car.
Are you kidding me? It's only that much? $2,000? Well, first of all, I have to have a private car. I imagine that's probably a good amount of money.
I can't remember the details if that was something around freight that we had been researching, but I'm pretty sure when we looked into what exactly the logistics of attaching a private car is, I think Amtrak will oblige to any of their routes for a modest fee around like 25 or you know, maybe $3,000. I don't know what it is. But
well, what I'm curious about is, okay, let's say we did have a private car. How in God's name do we get that to Penn Station to hook up to the rest of the train?
We want to know more about it. So anybody out there, if you've done research, if you know about private cars and how that works with Amtrak, how you move your private car around, how you store it anywhere, we'd like to know, because we think that there should be a hacker car. We're in the market. We might buy maybe like one of the track geometry cars and then outfit it with some computers or something. Who knows? But we'd like to know more about that. It's always something we're fascinated by. And every now and then you see these beautiful old cars restored, and it's always something we're curious about. But we don't know enough. So that's another option. But as E said, that's not something we've stepped up to yet.
But we intend to, and with your help, listeners, those of you who have private rail cars, please contact us, otw@2600.com, because this is exactly the kind of thing that, and you know, could fit a lot of people on those cars. We could have a disco, we could have all kinds of things going on cross country, and I just want to go on one at some point. Even if it's not mine, I want to go on somebody's. I realize I misspoke before. I said we were in Jersey. I don't think we were, because we're heading north. We're not heading west. I know Chicago is not to the north. It's to the west. But the route that we take, and one of the reasons why it takes so long, is we go up to Albany. As you might have heard, we're hooking up with another train from Boston in Albany, and we get a lounge car from that. And then I think we go all around New York, Buffalo, and eventually wind up in Chicago. It's not a direct route by any means. But I think this is Upper Manhattan that we're looking at right now. And we're just going due north through Westchester and eventually up into Albany. Yeah, we're on 12th Avenue. I see it now.
Oh, I see. So we cut over to New Jersey, but now we're cutting back to New York.
No, I don't think we were ever in New Jersey. I think we headed north from Penn Station. I think that was just part of Manhattan that we saw.
Oh, okay. I thought you said, I think you did say New Jersey, but you may have meant New York.
No, I said New Jersey. I already admitted to that, and I corrected myself, and now I'm sure that we're in New York. I believe we've passed Columbia University, and we're, if we didn't have a curtain on the other side of the room, we would see the Hudson River, probably.
Yes, I see some kind of roadway, raised roadway. I can barely see, but there might be a river over there.
Well, there better be a river over there, because we're heading north, and there really should be. Yeah, there it is. I see it.
Yeah, that is a river. That has been confirmed.
And, you know, we're going to be riding along the Columbia River between Seattle, not between Spokane. Well, how do you pronounce that damn city again?
Spokane?
That sounds like the way I was saying it, and I got mocked and ridiculed for saying Spokane.
Spokane.
K-A-N-E. The silent E means the A is long. That's what I learned in grade school. But whatever. Spokane. I'll try to remember that. Between Spokane and Seattle. Okay, that one's right.
No, it's Seattle.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's the native indigenous pronunciation.
Here's what happens. We lose the dining car there. That goes to Seattle, and we wind up going to Portland in what's left of the train, and we ride along the Columbia River the whole way.
Aren't we going to go to another part of that area? along the northern side.
Well, I know that, look, there's a, sure there is a Columbia River out there, right?
That's true.
Okay, so we're going to be riding along the Columbia River between Spokane and Portland. Are you saying there it's not there?
Oh, yes, near Dulles and, yeah, okay, yeah. I'm not familiar with that route at all.
Neither am I. I've never done it.
But, yes, the river basically comes down through central Washington from Eniat and Chelan and Lake Roosevelt. It goes through a series of dams, and then it outlets at the border between Oregon and Washington near, essentially, Port Angeles and, well, Portland, definitely, because the river's right there in the city.
I've got a little Amtrak rail map, and I'm going to be marking all the routes that I've been on. I'm trying to figure out how to get through them all, because it's really not that many. We've done the Northeast. We've certainly gone cross-country in a number of different ways, and that just leaves a bunch of little spurs that sound interesting.
Yeah. No, you should track these things so that we can plan other adventures to fill out our sense of the entire system.
Now we have a really good view of the Hudson River. Look at that. That's something else. Well, we're going to enjoy the rest of the beginning of the ride, explore the train a little bit, and get our free drink.
This is a good season for it. I mean, all the leaves are turning, so here we are. We're doing the leaf deciduous leaf changing tourism as a side, I guess, benefit of this journey.
And we get to see how the landscape changes as we head further west. Eventually we'll see deserts and plains and things like that. But it's going to be fun stopping in Chicago, because they're in the middle of a teacher strike, and that means all kinds of unruly kids are on the streets, and teachers are demonstrating, and it's going to be kind of interesting. Hopefully the train is on time, because if it's late, we don't get to walk around the city. If it's on time, we have a few hours. But that's one of the other advantages of traveling by train. You get to walk around outside sometimes, even between trains. At certain stations, you can stop and take what they call a smoke break. Even if you don't smoke, it's good to walk around the platform and just kind of take in whatever sights happen to be there. But who knows? Every train is different. We're going to walk around and see what else we can find on this one.
Until then.
that's a Metro train passing by. We're in Chicago now. It's actually the next day. We rode the train from New York to Chicago, slept overnight, arrived pretty much on schedule, about a half hour late, which for Amtrak is on schedule. And then we hung out in Chicago for about 4 hours. So that was pretty cool. And we just now made it to our next train, which goes to Portland. And it was kind of tight. Well, we leave in 5 minutes, but we started walking towards the train about 10 minutes ago, and it was a pretty long walk, so I was a little worried.
Yeah, but we made it, and the train was right nearby, and wasn't too far, and we didn't have a lot of bags anyway. But of course, the train was on the end of the platform.
Last platform, last car. But we don't have a locomotive in front of us, so I don't know how we're going to move.
Well, maybe we're going to get pushed from the other end of the train that's in the front, where the gates are in the Union, the station.
But not all the way to Portland. They don't push trains all the way across country.
No, they'll probably reorient it once they're out of underground here.
Of course, we could also just get a locomotive any moment, in which case we'll feel a little jolt, and then we'll be pulled by that locomotive. But we'll see.
Indeed, indeed. They're looking forward to it, and it was once again really nice to visit the city. We sampled some really good coffee at a really interesting coffee bar, and then we went to the Greek district.
Greek town, which it turns out is only about two or three blocks away from Union Station. We had always walked the other way before and gotten onto the L and gone to other parts of the city, but this time we walked away from downtown, and nothing but Greek places. It was really amazing.
Indeed, yeah, and it looks kind of cool. Basically, things getting built up, and I think there's like a new bridge they're building over there, one end of the Greek district, and I would recommend it. I think it's better than going towards the L, because there's so much like sports bar and a lot of like quick fast food type stuff, but you know, you can really quickly in 3 or 4 blocks and just around the corner essentially get really interesting cuisine, in this case the Mediterranean type.
Yeah, it was really good, and just being able to walk around town for a few hours is very liberating. And you know, obviously you don't get to do that on a plane. If at most you get to hang out in an airport terminal, it's just really nice to walk around a city.
I think this is the shortest length of time that I've been in Chicago between trains. It's been like 5 and 6 hours, I think, in the past.
Yeah, we're spoiled. We used to 5 or 6 hours, and we only had 4. They're making some kind of announcement, but I don't know how to hear it. Okay, well, they're just announcing dinner, which I don't want to talk about right now. We just had lunch. But here on this train, we have to make reservations for the dining car, the way we like it. The other train was different. We didn't have those reservations anymore. And I got to say, it's a step down. You go into the dining car and you get something on a tray that you select, and you don't really sit with anybody else. You sit by yourself, and you're done a lot quicker. It's not magical like it is on this leg of the trip, where you sit down with people who are also on a train journey, and the food is cooked fresh downstairs.
Not that the food wasn't passable. I mean, it's better than airplane food, I would say. And we made our own kind of choices and made the best of it with some of the options they had. I mean, they're pretty good, and really it's better than bringing food on and stuff.
No, I agree. Now, the train we took, which was the shorter part of the journey, it was good. The room was a little cramped. I think this room is a little bit bigger. What do you think?
Yes, I agree. I think it's a great deal bigger. I mean, the bathroom is probably much larger, and it's wider.
Yeah, I could fit in the bathroom, but I couldn't open the door when the chair was down, and I almost got stuck. And that was really kind of embarrassing. We had to move the chair up so that I could fit in. I'm not fat, but I just there's not much space. But here there's a lot more space. I can actually open the door and sit in the chair at the same time, which is awfully nice. So looking forward to this leg, which lasts 2 days. We go throughout the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, Washington, and then we cut down to Portland because we have a third train afterwards after we spend about 6 hours in Portland.
Yeah, we're going to just basically have a layover there and check out the city and explore, maybe catch up with some friends or just entertain ourselves on our own.
If you're in Portland and you want to meet us, this is the show that was taped, so you can't. But next time, maybe pay a little bit more attention and meet us before this airs. Right? That's fair. Oh, we just got jostled. We're moving backwards. So that means a locomotive has... No, wait a minute. You know what it could mean? It could mean we're moving forward. Yeah, that's what's happening. All the other tracks seem to dead end at Union Station, but this is one of the further tracks. I think it goes all the way through. So that locomotive we saw at what we thought was the end of the car, at end of the train, was actually the front, and we're in the back. We're not in the front. Okay.
So we're going to continue west through, under Union Station and through. I got to say, they're doing a lot of construction here. It looks like they're trying to add a couple more platforms. I can see a lot of concrete being poured to kind of reinforce some of the old iron beams that are basically holding up the ceiling. And all the lighting is being changed to LEDs and those sorts of things.
I'm doing a quick ice run. Would you be interested in any cups of ice?
Do we need ice? It's up to you.
No, I'm okay for now.
I think we're good.
Okay. Appreciate the thanks.
Now, if you can't find me throughout the day and you do need a cup of ice, you can just get it from the cafe.
Okay. Ooh. When do we make reservations? Or?
They usually try to do it after 3:30.
Okay, no hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Great, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Just wanted to make sure we didn't miss out. We had our famous Amtrak Bloody Mary last night, too. That was really good.
Yeah, that is outstanding. One of the, I think, perhaps overlooked amenities that the cafe can provide. It's really simple thing, probably the most stripped down Bloody Mary you'll ever have, but it is worth checking out if you do drink cocktails every now and then.
You know, we were in the very last car of the last train too. Actually, there was a baggage car behind us. And we have baggage, too, which is kind of funny because it's kind of following us. But it's probably going to get there first. But we were next to the baggage car, which was the last car, and we were in a sleeper. And then we had to walk through another sleeper to get to the dining car, which is where we had dinner. And then after that, we continued on through the train. I think we walked through 6 coaches before we got to the cafe car. That's where we had our Bloody Mary. And then after that, there was... I think one more sleeper, and that came from Boston. In Albany, the trains merge, so you get more coaches and you get the cafe car in Boston. So we just explored the whole thing, and there was one coach car that was completely empty. There was nobody in it. We were going to adopt that for ourselves, but we had better lodgings. So it was a good ride. I got some sleep. Did you?
Oh yeah, I slept very well, and. Just basically, enjoyed the ride. It's pretty smooth. There were a couple bumpy sections, but it was very pleasant, and I enjoyed myself.
I was on the top bunk, and I was kind of scared. What is she talking about? She's giving so many announcements. I don't know what's so complicated. Anyway, I was on the top bunk, and I was pretty afraid of falling over. But they have this little strap thing that I guess secures you, and you don't really, I don't know if anyone's ever fallen over that must have happened to somebody, but, I think even if you do, it might not be so bad because the bed below kind of extends out, so you'd land on that, but it's not something I want to try. It's not something I hope anyone else has gone through. I was able to sleep. I got some really intense dreams, but I felt well rested. Coffee was terrible. That's why we went to the other coffee shop in Chicago. It's cool when you just look up places that are different than the chains and you seek them out. And the people there are always happy to see you. We just had a good time walking around the city. And, of course, the teacher strike is going on. We saw some people with shirts. Didn't see any picketers. Saw some happy kids walking around. Didn't have to go to school. But I think it's going to be ending soon. We'll see.
Yeah, the teachers looked like they were just taking a break between... protests.
Yeah, they went to the coffee shop we went to, so that was kind of neat. We're going to pretty much wrap it up. I think she stopped too, so I'll stop at the same time. Oh, no, she hasn't stopped. I can't imagine what she's telling us. We can't hear it because it's not being piped into our room for some reason. But that's okay. We're going to, I guess, go through Milwaukee and then North Dakota. And well, the states I mentioned before, Minnesota. We'll update people as we progress slowly westward.
Yeah, we've got plenty of reading material and a couple programs in case we're looking for something to do. But we'll probably take some of the stops and go, you know, explore when the train is stopped. And definitely we'll make a point to go up to the cafe car and go maybe at least one end to the other, as we usually do when we're on a new train like this.
Oh, look at the graffiti on that building. Ron Hardy Appreciation Society. I don't know what that's all about, but nothing but murals and graffiti all over. It's really very picturesque.
I gotta say, there's a lot of World Series garb and pride as far as where the Cubs have been lately. It wasn't last year, though. It was the year before, right?
You ask me. I don't know. I know it was recently, but both the Cubs and the White Sox won recently, fairly recently, this century. Which, actually, it was, I think, almost a full century before either one of them had won before.
And how are the Yankees doing this year?
Oh, they're out. They got eliminated quickly.
Are they? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but Kyle, the Washington Nationals are in the World Series, which means the only team that's never made it to the World Series is the Seattle Mariners. You're from Seattle, right?
No comment, but yes.
Interesting. Well, okay, we're going to leave it there.
It just means we're due.
It means you're way due. Well, yeah, there's a lot of train tracks in Chicago. I do like that about this city. Not enough passenger trains. You need more of that.
Well, think about it. I mean, it's in the middle of the country. It's got as much west and as much east. It's got, you know, a international border to the north and all of the south below and those coasts. It's just basically this central hub in the middle of the country.
You see those kids skipping and waving at the train? They're so happy because they haven't been to school in 2 weeks. And they may not go back until the strike is over. It may go a long, long time. But hopefully it'll be over soon. Can't have kids running around the street like this. So, we did walk around in Albany a little bit because that's where the train from Boston merges. And we watched the engine pull away with a baggage car from the Boston train and then come back and get the rest of the cars and then back up and attach to our train. That was, that killed about an hour and a half. I guess we'll get out at other stations too when we have the opportunity to walk around. They call them smoke breaks, but even if you don't smoke, you can still take a break and walk around and get some air.
Please.
Oh, yeah, tickets.
Yep, right.
Do you have the paper ticket?
I got the paper.
All right. If not, I have the one on the phone.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, we're officially supposed to be here, so that's always nice.
I gotta say, the platforms, both on some of the local stops and so on, but also the Amtrak stop, particularly Albany, they look new. There's been a lot of renovation and rebuilding going on. And we were also looking at the map, and there's some of these lines look really ripe for high speed. We were talking about Buffalo to Albany and some of those routes that are essentially, you know, vital for state government, much in the same way that, you know, a lot of the major commuter lines go to D.C. from a national perspective. So hopefully the New York State transit system improves in those ways, because we're seeing that in Texas, and it is coming, and we've yet to experience a real true high speed in this country. And every time we're on the train, it's the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, what evidence of improvements are there? And like I said, at least some of the platforms and stops are changing and becoming renovated and refreshed.
Yeah, just to put it in perspective, when I was 17 years old and I had my 1966 Impala, I went faster one night on the Sconset Highway in Setauket than any train has ever gone in the United States. And that should be a wake-up call, if anything. First of all, don't speed. But second of all, make the trains go faster.
Yeah. And as we were remarking, the entire network is connected. It's all there. It just needs the kind of consideration and upgrades and technological improvements that will allow for those kinds of things. And that goes for everything. Information, signage, you know, flow of passengers, as well as the actual track signaling, safety, all that.
You know, there actually have been improvements, though, during the Obama years when money was actually put into high-speed rail. I know some idiotic states gave the money back, said that we don't want any high-speed rail. Stupid move. But in Connecticut, for instance, there is now a line. Actually, it's a commuter line between New Haven and Springfield, Massachusetts, which I just found out about yesterday. I didn't know that was there. There's also an Amtrak line that runs along the same track, so that's kind of cool.
I think there's, you know, a strong change in the attitude, though, given the kind of damage Boeing has been doing to itself as far as air travel goes. I'm speaking particularly to the MAX aircraft that has some programmatic issues, let's just say, and tends to go down. But that, combined with people's awareness about the carbon footprint and impact of air travel, I think there's maybe a second look toward terrestrial transit, such as high speed, at least as an option to offload some of the highways and byways, but as well as airports.
I guess we're going through northern Chicago now, going past all these houses and alleyways. It's really cool to see neighborhoods like this and just to pass right through them. Hopefully the people aren't too disturbed by our train barreling through. But I think we're heading up towards Milwaukee next, and then westbound across Wisconsin. It's still light. 2:15 is when our train left, and it left right on time too, which is great. And hopefully we arrive on time, so we have some time to spend in Portland.
Look how far away we are now. I mean,
oh wow!
In that short amount of time, we're already well out of town.
Yeah, but coming into town took forever because we were going really slowly through Indiana.
Yeah.
What did we see in Indiana? We saw a lot of weird things.
Basically, the entire industrial center right along Lake Michigan has primarily steel mills, and some of them don't look like they're operational, but it on the other hand, they all seem to be have some kind of activity. So it was really interesting to see giant piles of what I would imagine are iron ore and train cars full of coal to fire the furnaces and so on, and huge rolls of steel probably going to Michigan and other places that are working on automobile bodies and so on.
I felt like I was going through a David Lynch film because it was just so large, industrial, old-looking, and abandoned, and quiet, and spooky. So if David Lynch is out there, this is where you should make a movie, or anyone really that wants to make something spooky. It's just these massive structures that are just, you know, holdovers from a bygone era that probably will never see life again, no matter what kind of propaganda you might be hearing. It's just weird looking at these huge structures that probably, you said at one point, that probably nothing has changed here in 50 years.
Yeah, the space, the land, and that's all probably long paid for. They just probably don't maintain things like utilities for all but, you know, the bare minimum of what they need. So, you know, water, or, high voltage, they won't do that, or at least their coal deliveries are perhaps reduced. But they seem to still be somewhat active. It's interesting to look at, but their capacity is probably extremely high, but it's just underutilized given the current sort of economic conditions.
Way underutilized. They really should look into doing something else with that land, because it's kind of depressing going through this. In fact, it's very depressing going through there. It just looks abandoned, polluted, and just not very attractive. Great place for a rave. You know, you could do all kinds of things there. Or just, redevelop it into something else, or maybe give it back to nature and have the animals run around a bit.
Yeah, or museums of some sort, an industrial museum of some kind.
How about that, a steel museum, a museum to the era of steel, which has now passed us by?
It's all sort of possible. I mean, especially these idle industrial areas, but fascinating to go through. That, by the way, is the city of Gary, or it's probably also a county, I'm not sure, but Gary, Indiana is the area we were passing through.
Yeah, Gary and parts to the east of Gary.
I also saw a bunch of water treatment plants, one of which was operated by a oil company, which I thought was a little bit interesting.
BP. Yeah, well, I think if any company should be purifying water, they should be doing it to the end of time for all the harm they've caused to water.
Yeah, yeah, it seems like an appropriate area of expertise. They know what's in it, and perhaps they know the science of getting it out, but also maybe they're making money on the back end for other necessities that perhaps will keep them afloat if things change.
That noise you just heard now, that's track crossing track. That's when a railroad track intersects with another one. It's not a merge, it's actually a crossing. You don't see that in Long Island anywhere, but when it does happen, it's very loud.
There's a lot of lines that aren't used out here, too. It's just amazing, the relics here in Illinois and the greater Midwest area. Tracks, industrial buildings, you name it, old bridges. Some of them were incredibly old, but as we passed by, I noticed the counterweights had been recast in concrete, so that one was probably still being utilized. Really interesting to imagine what it takes to assess that and say, yeah, we need this. No, we're not rebuilding it. This is how we fix it. Taking the old and keeping it in shape. It's really a good metaphor and a bit of a reminder that, you know, perhaps redevelopment at all cost isn't always the best solution.
You know, all this philosophizing, thought, observations that we have, it's all from passing through this particular part of the country, and normally you would just fly over it and never give it a second thought. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we don't look at these places enough and see what's actually on the ground and come up with ideas on better ways to use that space.
Yeah, you'd be stuck in a plane under pressure with your stupid neck pillow, half asleep with peanut salt on your fingers. Yeah.
But when you say it like that, now it's something I really kind of envious of.
Don't you dare say that. You don't mean that. You don't mean that. Take that back.
We're passing a park now. I see people walking through little trails. There's wilderness here. This is kind of nice. No idea. Actually, you know, I can have my apps, my map apps going on my phone, and it'll always show me where I am, which is kind of cool. But this is very nice looking, actually. There's a golf course. Ruined. Well, it's nice though. You see a lot of the country, and as we mentioned before, we're going to see parts of the country that are very, very different from this.
Just remember, golf is not a sport; it's a game.
It's a travesty, if you ask me. But I'm not going to get into that now. We don't have enough time. We'll be back somewhere points west.
Bye.
Well, I ride on a mail train, babe. Can't buy a thrill. Well, I've been up all night, leaning on the windowsill. Well, if I die on top of the hill. Don't the brakeman look good, Mama, dragging down the double E? Don't the sun look good going down over the sea? But don't my gal look fine when she's coming after me? wintertime is coming. The windows are filled with frost. I went to tell everybody, but I could not get across.